This episode is brought to you by Windrose Recovery, a family of premier addiction treatment programs in southeastern Wisconsin. Privately owned, Windrose Recovery offers a full continuum of personalized care for those struggling with addiction, including the Manor for residential treatment, Midwest Detox for inpatient detoxification, and Windrose Counseling for outpatient treatment. With highly personalized treatment focused on trauma, Dr. Chantel Thomas and her expert team offer an authentic experience, creating the kind of deep emotional change that's crucial for long-term recovery. If you or someone you love is struggling with addiction, call Windrose Recovery at 414-409-5300. You can learn more about Windrose Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or by visiting windroserecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of the show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are.
I'm Jessie Carroll, and this is The Path to Authenticity.
Nowhere to run, nothing to hide from the government's prying eye. Take yourself a Soma holiday.
The Path to Authenticity proudly supports the I Speak Media Foundation, advancing media literacy education through an evolving series of outreach programs within the communities that need it most. For more information, visit ispeakmedia.org. If this is your first time here, thanks for checking it out. If not, thanks for coming back. I'm Tom Gentry, and this is The Path to Authenticity. If you don't mind, please take a minute to subscribe to the show. Maybe leave a rating or a review. Every little bit helps. Episode 127 for June 8th, 2021. Features a conversation with Jessie Carroll, who lives in Austin, Texas. She is a life design coach, combines life coaching with her expertise in interior design. A little bit of a different twist on the coaching thing. Hope you enjoy it. Jessie Carroll. I want to hear about what you do because you focus a lot, from what I understand, on how our inner life relates to our outer life, and specifically how we live, where we live. And, you know, I'm someone who, I'm a nester. My surroundings have always been important to me, even when I was a little kid. What's hanging on the walls, what's on the shelves. And, you know, I have the kind of, the way that I live, people have commented at times that when they've been in my space that, wow, everything has some kind of meaning to it. And it really does. It does. So talk about what you do.
Yeah. You know, and I have to tell you, you are doing really what I aim to help my clients with, which is just that authenticity piece. It's that really finding a connection and intention to every single thing we have in our homes. Because then when we do, we just feel better in it. And then that energy can be felt by everybody that comes into the home. Mm-hmm. Because we're not doing it for you know, external validation. We're doing it because it feels good. And that's a whole different energy. So I love that you're already doing that. But yeah, so I, you know, it's been a been an interesting journey to get here. But essentially what I do, to sum it up, is that I call myself a life design coach. So I utilize design and decorating actually as modalities for healing.
Okay.
So helping people peel back the layers within themselves by really evaluating and digging deep into their external environment and seeing that our external environment actually serves as a tangible mirror for what's going on internally. Because everything that we do in our homes, as far as how we keep it, how we set things up, how maybe the messes that we have, it's all habitual. And we're not typically being conscious about it. And so what I do is I help people wake up to the and become conscious in their home and really tap into that. And when they do, they can start unraveling their personal patterns, their ways of being. They can start to take control, because until you observe something, you don't actually know really what's going on or who you are. So I help people tap in through that. But I also do life coaching throughout that design, decorating kind of overhaul process.
So there's an expression in my world, messy bed, messy head.
You know what? I haven't heard that exact one, but you're so right. It is all correlated.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I've talked to a lot of guys over the years, because I've been in a position where I was either like overseeing a unit of people in residential treatment or managing a program where, and as a substance abuse counselor, like pretty much anywhere you go to like a rehab, rule number one is you make your bed. Most of the time, that's what it's like. There are aberrations here and there, programs that don't do that, but that's, your life has to be a priority. And what
exactly,
and how I interpret that, like, really, to me, the essence of it is, if I come home at the end of the day and my bed's not made, I feel worse than I do if I come home at the end of the day and my bed is made.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of truth to that. I feel like that too. If I come home from a vacation and my house is a mess, it's like, oh, well, this wasn't the relaxing environment that could nurture me from all the busyness and go, go, go that I just experienced, you know. So there's definitely truth in that. And I think the bed thing is probably just in regards to rituals. And like you said, prioritizing, and even something as seemingly small as making a bed, it's not about the bed. It's about the symbolism. Right. It's about the symbolism of you. And our bedrooms are actually, you know, the number one room in our home for us. So it's huge symbolism there as far as, you know, what we mean to ourselves and, you know, how much we actually matter to ourselves, how much we actually love and care for ourselves. So, yeah, it always goes much deeper. And that's another thing, is just showing people the symbolism of everything. It's not the thing itself. Even the colors, I dig into color psychology a lot with people, helping them understand it's not the color itself. It's the characteristics and the emotions that that color represent, or that, you know, household item or that furniture piece represents. So, you know, we're attracted to certain things that we are for reasons. And a lot of times when you start to unravel, you start to realize it's all connecting you to maybe situations you've experienced or people that resemble that kind of quality. So there's a lot of, you know, memories associated with that too.
Yeah. So how'd you get into this?
You know, it's funny, if somebody had asked me, you know, did you ever think you'd be doing this? Absolutely not. It did start off with a train ride to a beer fest. So that was kind of unexpected.
A train ride to a beer fest.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I highly recommend anybody in the Washington State area, definitely do it. It comes around the holidays. And I don't remember what it's called, maybe like the Polar Express or something. But yeah, essentially this train plops you out at a beer fest in the middle of the mountains. And there's like live bands going on. And it's so fun. But I remember going on this train ride, and I was with my best friend at the time, and we were, you know, we were having fun. We were, you know, drinking a little bit, and I could not stop thinking about like being unhappy in the career that I was in. I felt so I felt so unaligned. I felt like my body was just screaming at me to do something different, but I had literally no idea what it would be. And that my friend at the time was really good at just helping me dive deep into, you know, bigger questions. And so I definitely recommend having people in your life that can challenge you a little bit, that can help you think differently about your current circumstances. She really helped me through that. And one thing she asked me was, what do you think your skills are? You know, what do you think you're good at? And this is so, this just shows you where I was at. But my answer on that was, I thought I was nice to people. I thought I was kind. And I was like, that's it. And she was like, no, there's got to be more than that. So it was just funny because in that moment, I really saw where my self-esteem was, like really how I saw myself as not being worth much. And that really showed me why I was stuck in the career that I was in, or stuck with air quotes, because that's how I saw myself. So she helped me unravel and open up a bigger idea for myself. And when we did that, what we uncovered was that something that brought me a lot of peace that I've just always done for myself and helped others, you know, just whenever they'd ask me to, or it was always a topic of conversation, was redecorating. And, you know, I have never really, you know, been somebody that's had, you know, buku dollars to spend on like ridiculous overhauls and renovations. So I had to get really, really skilled at being creative with the resources that I had. And typically what that meant was changing things around, or that meant reorganizing, that meant getting rid of things, that meant finding beauty in the in-between, that meant just, yeah, just getting really creative. And, but I thought, you know, I don't have an interior design background. Like I don't, there's no way, like on paper, somebody should hire me for this, even though I've been doing this for 20 years. And what I had to realize was that my confidence is what matters, because that confidence in my ability alone allowed me to push forward to get certified in home staging and interior design. It allowed me to just even go through the course program. And when I did it so fast. They say you typically take a year. It took me like 3 to 4 months, I think, because I was just so engaged in the content and I was soaking it up and I just couldn't do it fast enough. I was just, I loved it. And I think when you find something like that, you just, you keep following that. And so I did that, and I eventually decided to just start my business at the beginning of 2020. And so, you know, I started my business, and I was doing virtual interior design because when COVID happened, it forced some COVID creativity, I like to call it, and forced me to say, okay, well, I'm in this now. You know, I've started my business. I am doing interior design. Now, how do I do this? How do I work around what's happening in the world right now? And it was like, oh, go virtual. So I started picking up some e-design classes. I just started figuring it out and reaching out literally to anybody that could use my help. And then as I started going down, I realized, okay, let's, you know, maybe you get a little bit more granular as you go with who you want to help. But I just went for it. And what that ended up birthing was realizing that people were coming to me for interior design, but what they were really, the underlying conversation there was, there was a lot of fear in people. They were really afraid to make decisions. They didn't trust themselves to make the decisions. It was a lot of black or white thinking, like, oh my gosh, if I do this, I'm stuck with it forever. Or I don't want to spend the money. I don't want to do this. I don't want to ruin my home, when they forget, oh, you can return things. You know, it's not permanent. And so there was a lot of perfectionist tendencies coming up, a lot of people pleasing things coming up, because people were designing for other people instead of for themselves. And so when I tapped into that, I realized, wait a second, there's a bigger need here. And so I decided to create my life coaching offering. And I, you know, I studied personal development, psychology for a little over 10 years. I'm certified as a life coach. I just wasn't doing anything with it. I'm a very curious mind. So I'm always digging, I'm always studying, I'm always learning. So I have all these qualifications, but I wasn't doing anything. And this was my sign to say, you know, now is the time. There's, why wait? So I, as I built it, I started thinking about how I can bring them together, because I was seeing design as healing. I was seeing it as different than what people were maybe associating it with, and, you know, and initially. So I just saw it there to be this huge opening to help people in a new way, because I also started thinking, you know, I think people get bored with the same conversation all the time with personal development, or they get bored with, you know, perfection in design. It's not about that. It's about how can our homes feel good and work for us and fit with our lifestyle. So that's the conversation I started having, and it's really grown into this beautiful just business that I feel like it came to me. I'm just, you know, I did the steps, but I just allowed it to unfold as it was asking to be, you know, unraveled. So just honored to do the work and really excited by it.
It sounds like it. And this whole show, you know, a big part of why I wanted to do it is because I feel like if more of us were happier with what we're doing with our lives, that the world would be a better place. And we don't have to be miserable, right? Yeah. And, you know, I love being an American and what that all means, but the work ethic, the way we work in this country and the messages around it aren't always what's best for us as human beings. You know, like I think about how much shame I put on myself over the years when I was in a job that really didn't get me going, or it didn't anymore. You know, there were a lot of times I had like a new job that was like bright and shiny and I'd be really excited about it and proud and all that stuff for 6-12 months. And then the reality would set in that this still isn't what I really want to be doing. Mm. Then I would beat myself up because I should be doing better and, you know, like almost treating myself as if I'm lazy or something. And what I've learned over the years is no, that's not what that's about. That's about I'm not in the right place. Just like when you didn't feel right doing what you were doing with your life all those years ago, and it compelled you to make a change.
Yeah. You know, and I'm a big believer that, you know, I really do think we all need to take radical responsibility for our lives. But at the same time, I only think that can happen when we wake up and we realize that the reason we're oftentimes unhappy and feeling stuck, air quotes, is because what happens is society tells us that what fulfillment is following the rules of society.
Right.
But what's happening is we're just unconsciously doing the steps that we think we're supposed to do,
right?
Because that's just what society says equals success. But when you actually start to feel, you know, when you get past that fleeting moment of that temporary happiness, the reality sinks in that, oh, you didn't actually follow your own course. Mm-hmm. You weren't actually listening to yourself at all. So you were completely living out of integrity. And so it's okay. You know, it's okay to have done that and to be, you know, be following what society tells you, because that's how we feel safe. You know, it doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you human in a world that tells you that's how it's supposed to be set up. But the radical responsibility comes when we feel that unhappiness, and then we need to decide what we're going to do about it. And we need to understand that we have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not stuck anymore the moment we've realized that we feel stuck, because that's an empowering moment. I truly believe the biggest change only happens in the times where we feel the most pain and the most resistance to a change, because it makes us question everything. And when we question everything, we start to get deeper within ourselves.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, so one of the things that I'm hearing from you, and I feel like this has happened in my life too, the gifts that you have, you've kind of woven together.
Mm.
You know, being a life coach, loving interior design. I mean, you know, it, you figured it out. You found a way to integrate those things. And it's awesome because, man, there are just so many ways that we can help people heal. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a matter of showing up and being present for them and hearing them and walking them through things. And this gives you an opportunity to do that in a way that you probably never imagined, right?
Yeah, yeah. And something I want to share too, I just thought about, is I'm very big on practical action steps, because we can talk and talk and talk all day, but when people are maybe listening to this, it can sound like, oh, well, you just figured it out. Well, something I want to share is that I didn't for a very long time. Right. I felt heavy on my heart for many years, even the start of my corporate career, and I stayed in it for 6 years before I made a move. And the thing that helped me the most was I honestly surrendered, and I said, universe or God or whatever you believe in, I said, this all feels so heavy. I don't know what to do. Please help me figure out what a next step is, because I can't do this anymore. And that was in, I believe, March of 2019. Well, May 2019, I ended up working with a life coach. She got brought into my orbit by a mutual friend, and I didn't even know what a life coach was. Like, I knew I wanted to do like coaching and stuff, but I didn't know exactly what life coaches did. But I was very open to the idea, because at that point I was like waving the white flag. I was like, somebody just help me like figure out a better life. And she came into my orbit, and through her, I ended up getting to meet a lot more like-minded people who saw the world differently, who were actually doing the things I wanted to do. So I still was kind of blindly following, you know, I didn't necessarily know what these events were that they were going to, or like what kind of, you know, I didn't really understand a lot of the conversations they were having about entrepreneurship, but I just knew I wanted to be where these people were because they seemed happy. So I just blindly followed until something like the idea came, where I was at, you know, this was then October of that year. You know, I'm at on that train with my friend going to that beer fest. And so that idea is, maybe that's why I couldn't let it go, is because I was thinking about what's I want to do more. And I started getting really serious about figuring it out. And so at that point, I was like, anybody who will listen, I'm just gonna speak what's on my mind, no matter where we're at. So I started really, you know, validating myself and owning my truth in small little ways by even just speaking stuff on my heart, even if it made no sense at the time, or I was like, I need help sorting out my thoughts. So you have to be your own advocate at some point, even if you don't have a plan. And so that is really what allowed me to do, you know, the journey that I'm on now, is by saying, I don't know what to do. I need help, and asking for it. That was really the first time I started doing it. But yeah, I'm just such a believer in action steps and giving people real advice on what to do, because I get so paralyzed sometimes by getting so much information. So I'm like, well, great, what do I do with that? But it's like, no, if somebody tells me, be your own advocate, express your ideas, even if they don't make sense, that's a step, mm-hmm. You know, that's a practical step you could do.
Yeah. At the concept level, we can just stay in our heads, right? And never get anywhere, never take action and really do anything.
Yeah.
But the, you know, to have small, measurable goals, you know, yes. it really helps keep us grounded. And I mean, I say this stuff, I'm not the greatest at it, you know, but, I can be better, but I try, you know. And for me, what has happened is, you know, there've been times I have been really satisfied with my career. There've been times when, I mean, I always kind of knew it wasn't what I really wanted to be doing,
mm-hmm.
but I was also very gratified by it at times. But now looking back, I know I needed to go through all that,
yeah,
to be who I am now. And what I've learned from all that is to just be kind to myself and not get caught up in judging myself for too harshly for being where I'm at instead of where I would like to be. And instead, one thing I have been pretty methodical about over the last 10 years is, what do I want? Just like you were talking about with the home.
Yeah.
I started to think about it in terms of my entire life, beginning with, how do I really want to be spending my time? Is this what I really want to be doing? And making gradual steps towards getting to where I had more autonomy, more room for creative expression, and at the same time, finding ways to maximize the skills that I have with my regular gig so that I can make the money I need to make in less time.
Yeah.
And be more satisfied. But it all kind of started with putting into the universe what I really wanted. That's an important part of all this, right? I mean, if you don't articulate that somehow, and when I say, I mean, I don't know, I might have journaled about it, but it was really in my head. But I knew it was there. Like, this isn't really how I want to be spending my time. It's tolerable for the time being. I realize I need to be here now, but I'm going to start taking steps in the direction of where I really want to go. And part of that for me was to be able to work from anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, if COVID hasn't proven that I can do that, I don't know. I don't know what has, you know. I mean, I have clients all over the country, and I do stuff where I needed to have an office before, or thought I did, and now I don't.
Yeah.
But you mentioned about decorating for someone else. Just talking to you, it reminded me, I've been divorced since 2013. And one of the things about it, I felt, and I don't say this from a place of judgment or anything, it's just what it was. She decorated. And, you know, like I said, even when I was a little kid, I spent so much time like just doing an entire collage wall in my bedroom. Like I just did, I mean, really just taking care of my surroundings and making it what I wanted it to be. And so that for me to be in a relationship like that was stifling. You know, it felt like I didn't get to be who I was. I had stuff hanging on the walls in my closet. I had stuff hanging on the walls in the garage. It just, so when I moved on, that was like such a freeing thing to be able to do that again, you know, because it really is important to me. And another thing that I've experienced over the course of my life, when I'm grieving, like grieving the loss of a relationship or something, I start repainting. I start rearranging furniture and, you know,
there's a lot here, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that you went through a divorce and everything, but at the same time, when you get to connect with yourself through decorating or painting, like, it is a form of self-expression, and you get to discover, you know, more about yourself along the way in that. So it ends up being really beautiful. And I think people tell themselves a lot of times they don't care about decorating. And I think I personally typically hear it more from men, you know, that's not always the case, but it's something that I think a lot of people kind of deny themselves of because they don't even think it matters. But if you bring it down to, like you said, like back in, you know, when being a kid, decorating our room was like, it was special because that was our sanctuary. That was our space. And we wanted it to feel like that. Or I even remember being in middle school and making my locker look a certain way because that was my locker. You know, it was my personal space in the school. I got to make it however I wanted. There was a lot of freedom in that. And when you just stop playing like that and you stop allowing yourself to explore and discover, you know, you really do deny yourself, I think, of a really precious gift. So I think it's awesome that you tap back into that. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, now it's been many years of it, you know, and I've refined it to the point where, you know, not every object has meaning, but, you know, a lot of times at this point in my life, if I'm going to buy something to hang on the wall or put on a shelf for what I ask myself, is this me?
That's so important. And that's such a big part of it. You know, although I understand that aesthetics, you know, make us feel a certain way, That's the point of them, is to, you know, create emotions. But when we are just shopping to shop, when we're just, you know, trying to buy a bunch of stuff to fill a void, what we're doing is we are completely blocking out that emotion and becoming numb to it. So we're not even feeling mm-hmm. anymore. So it's so important to do what you're doing. Like you said, ask the question, is this me? Do I even know who me is? What do I like? Right. What turns me on? What makes me feel lit up? What inspires me?
Right.
And that's not always going and buying things. And I also encourage people to pause before they make that trip to the store, because this is coming from personal experience. I teach what I know. Right. Like, I don't just shout this stuff, you know? I used to do the same thing, and I never actually realized until I paused and stopped and thought about it that every time I previously was like going and shopping at those discount stores to just buy a bunch of stuff that looked kind of cute that didn't mean anything, it was typically when I was going through something that was frustrating to me and I didn't want to think about it. Whether it was a relationship or, you know, something at work or, you know, a conversation I had had or something that, you know, something that didn't go my way, or I was feeling not the greatest about myself. Like maybe I felt heavier that day for whatever reason. I honestly worked a lot with my relationship with food and stuff. I've healed a lot. So, but there was just, you know, I had a lot of self-confidence stuff, and I realized that I would buy things to fill that void. And so what I want to do is help people before they get to that point. So then you don't also have that regret of just having spent a bunch of money for no reason, you know, and sabotage yourself that way too. But just to connect and say, do I really need this? Is there another way to create the same feeling I'm seeking? Or do I just need a journal right now? Do I just need to talk to somebody right now? Like, what do I actually need in getting in touch with that?
Well, and it all boils down to the willingness to experience your emotions.
Yes.
Because what you're talking about is creating a distraction for oneself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is, you know?
Totally.
And I also am teaching from experience. And, you know, even if it's not extreme spending or what, you know, it's still, like for me, my tendency has been to like kind of jump around. You know, to different ways of doing that, and not being too terribly obsessive in one way or the other. But also, like, we have to give ourselves a break too.
Oh yeah.
Like, usually for me, it's like, you know, do I really need this record? Because I'm pretty into music and I have a record collection, and it's like, no, but this is who I am and what I do.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because we're not always shopping for like a big purpose. And that's not what I'm trying to say here. You know, I'm not trying to say like it's either everything has meaning or nothing.
Right,
you know, like if you're just like, it's one thing to buy things because you're trying to fill a void of an emotion that you don't want to feel. And it's another thing to just be in a really good place and see something you like and feel like, yeah, I'm going to get it, you know, because treat yourself. But I think what we've done as a society is told ourselves that every time we're shopping and we're splurging like that, we're treating ourselves because it's self-care. And what's happening is people are getting confused with self-care and self-love, and they think the two are the same. And they're not. And so when we are feeling off, we need to take a pause and evaluate it. But if we're just living our life, enjoying the moment, see something we like, want to get it, then that's fun. You know, it's about balance, it's about checking in, and it's really about knowing yourself. And you can only really do that when you know yourself, you know, and you've observed your habits and you understand why you're doing the things you're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, the concept of, is this me? You know, with decor, with clothing. Like, for a long time, when I was probably less grounded in myself, I'd have all types of different things. Like, you know, I'll buy this because I like this, but it doesn't necessarily fit with everything else. So there's just like a hodgepodge of all kinds of stuff, which is cool, I guess, you know, but more and more my taste has gotten more refined, and I've found a better understanding of how I want it to look. and wear, yeah, that kind of looks cool. A lot of times for me, it's with shirts. Like, that's a really cool shirt. I could buy that shirt. And then I think, would I ever, I have a couple shirts in my closet now that like, I probably will never end up wearing them. You know, I mean, I like them. I like the way they look, but I, you know, I probably didn't give enough time to think about, do I like the way it looks on me? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this book. I'm trying to think of the name of it. But it's about developing your own personal style. Some famous window dresser from London who worked at like Barney's in New York or something. And he's, you know, become famous for design and style and all that stuff. And he mentioned, you know, if you're drawn to certain colors, go with it. Like, go with it. And it made me realize, like, I've stopped myself over the years because I can go through a store and pick out three or four shirts and catch myself, and every one of them will be blue.
Yeah.
Some shade of blue, you know? And, but, you know, reading that and hearing what he had to say about all that, I mean, it was really just an empowering message. Like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, I, you know what I decided? I'm going to wear blue. I'm going to wear black. I'm going to wear gray. And occasionally I'm going to wear white. That's what I'm going to do. And because that's the way I like to look, you know, that's what I'm drawn to. And, you know, if I'm going to have like something red, it's going to be something more of an accessory or something, you know, I don't know. But, or, you know, something to spice things up or whatever. But
yeah,
you know, it's really just about honoring ourselves, all of this, isn't it?
It is. And that's where, you know, I come in and maybe sound a little controversial to somebody with a very, you know, traditional design background, because I'm not there just focusing on aesthetics. Yes, I could give you a very beautiful room that follows all the trends, all the rules, air quotes. Not a rule follower a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's not a, for, to me, it's not about that. It's about the person who's living in that home. Like, what do they need? What feels good to them? Because the way you feel at home is the way you're going to show up in the world. And especially now with COVID, where almost like over 80% of us are spending 90% at home. So our homes are really impacting us way more than we realize.
Yeah.
So it's important to dive deep. And then I love that you brought up the colors, because colors, as I mentioned, you know, there's a lot to, you know, chromotherapy and color psychology, because typically we're attracted to the things we are for a reason. You know, it's, I say, if you're attracted to it, like you said, like, go for it, because that's what you're feeling. And that would be denying yourself what you're feeling. But it is interesting to know, like, every color does have a meaning. So like with blue, it typically, when we're drawn to something, it's what we're seeking more of in our life. So blue, for example, is all about, you know, it's blue is about safety, reliability,
tranquility,
peace, just really representing like a calm. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, inspires you to feel safe as you're, you know, moving through your creative endeavors. So a lot of times when we're seeking, or when we're, you know, feeling drawn to that color, it's because we actually need more of that nurturing, that calm in our life. Cause so maybe, you know, you were going through a tumultuous time, but blue feels like a reliable, safe color that you can really, you know, trust.
You know, it's funny, cause part of it is because I have blue eyes.
Oh, okay.
And you know, so, you know, people always said, you know, your eyes pop when you wear. So I'd do that, you know, and then I just got used to it.
And see, then that's also connecting to, you know, experiences you've had where, you know, people tell you that you trust it. And so, again, that could be part of the, well, I know that this is a safe, reliable color. I can be confident in this. So it's so interesting. And another thing I kind of wanted to bring up was just the idea of organization. I can't remember exactly what you said that made me think about it, but that is something that I, you know, work with people too on, is just, the decluttering. Maybe it was when you were talking about all the shirts you have. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's necessarily bad to treat yourself every once in a while, but if you're noticing a pattern, like, oh, before you go to buy it, like, oh, I actually have so many of these, I probably don't need it. Mm-hmm. Well, then I would challenge somebody to say, well, maybe the first thing you do then is actually set that shirt down, because you know you have a lot of it. Right. So I would challenge you to do the hard thing by setting it down, realizing if you really, really need it and you want it, you can come back later and get it. But going back to the closet and minimalizing, taking some of that away, seeing what you can part with, because when we are hoarding a bit in that sense, or just like overdoing it, we aren't giving ourselves the energy to just have more peace there. That's actually creating, that's a stress point.
Well, and you know, when we let go of things, we're also making room for something else.
Exactly. And a lot of times when you go through the process of releasing things, reorganizing, getting rid of stuff, you end up detaching from the need of that thing. So then that habit can dissolve. Mm-hmm. Well, but it's something you only experience when you go through the process.
The organization thing, I have a hard time with.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's the hardest part of the entire process, because it's the part where you face yourself the most, because it's you actually going through every single item, every single corner, and really getting real with yourself and saying, do I need this? Why do I feel like I need this? Do I actually have a space for this? And it brings back the emotions and the memories and the experiences you've had. It's, again, it's not about the items, it's the symbolism. And what a lot of my clients tell me is they realize, like, oh, I actually didn't realize I was attached to this because I was missing this friend. But this friend, they're not even in my life anymore, and I don't need this thing. So they're able to release that.
Hmm. So cool.
Yeah. It's a healing journey that I love to take people through, and it's fun because I learn a lot too, and then I get to put things into practice too and realize what my clients go through. So I'm really empathetic.
Yeah.
I get it.
So what's next for you?
Ooh, what's next? My goal is to just serve as many people as I can. So right now I'm just really speaking about my mission and speaking about how people can change their lives. And even if they don't work with me directly, like, I just want people to start thinking differently. So just opening up the conversation on as many platforms as I can and everywhere that I can. That's really my focus right now. But some exciting things in the work. I'm, writing a book, and I'm getting some programs created. So I'll be releasing and launching some things soon.
So tell me about the book.
Yeah. So the book is really, and it'll probably pivot because I'm only a few months into it and I can kind of feel it shifting, but it is just essentially wrapping up all of the things that I've learned throughout my life into lessons to practically help people get from stuck to unstuck, essentially, like surviving to thriving, but in a very detailed way with fun examples of my exact scenarios of how I got through these very common real world things, to find peace, to find a more authentic path. So it's really coming together beautifully, but I can kind of feel it shifting. So I don't know. I'm still figuring it out. But that's the beautiful part, right? Is that everything has a gestation period, and it's allowed to pivot, and it's allowed mm-hmm. to change.
Yeah, I have writing projects like that too. I have lots of ideas and bits and pieces of things that I've written and. But I don't know. I haven't figured out how it's all going to fit together yet. You know, whether it's going to be more than one book or, what it's going to be. I don't know yet.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. Yeah, it is. Man, life's great, you know? It really is if we let it be.
It is. And I'm just starting to really tap into that lately, even more. So it's a good feeling.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm in my 40s. Like, little farther along in them than I would, than I like to admit. But, but, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine last night. We were walking our dogs and he turned 50 over the weekend. You know, I mean, I'm just learning how to live. Like, I'm just learning how to enjoy it, right? Like, I wouldn't trade it. It's just gotten better and I'm happier than I've ever been. And it's because I've followed the same kind of path that you're talking about. To ourselves. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I know for me, it was awkward getting there. And I spent a long time denying myself in a number of different ways. But, you know, the more I hone in on it, the more confident I become, the happier I become. I think, you know, the more the energy that I put out is probably more attractive. You know, I mean, when somebody's like passionate and happy, it's infectious, right? I mean,
yeah, I love
it. It really is.
I love that. And it just shows, you know, there's no timeline to any of it. It's just letting, you know, living in the moment as much as you can, as, you know, when you get there.
Yeah, it's, you know? It's funny. I was at a networking thing today and a colleague of mine, they commented on this bracelet that I wear that's like a wrist, you know, it doesn't go all the way around.
Okay.
And it's a hammer, like actually bent around. It's the shape of a hammer.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's silver. And I wear that on the wrist where if I wore a watch, I would be wearing it there, you know?
Okay.
And I mentioned, they commented on it, a couple of my friends, and I said, yeah, I've been wearing this instead of a watch. And you know, somebody posed the question, you know, why, you know, you don't want to wear a watch. And I said, well, you know, the other thing is, you know, time is something we invented. Like,
yeah,
it's not that important. Like, I don't want my life to be dictated by time. And that's a reminder to me, the fact that I'm putting the bracelet on my wrist instead of the watch, that I'm committed to being in the moment.
Wow.
Know, or trying.
That literally gives me chills because that's so beautiful. And
she made fun of me. Whatever.
You know? No, I mean, I get in the moment sometimes. It's like, yeah, whatever. But when you really think about it, that is amazing because it's truly living in the authentic way that we often speak of, where, you know, a lot of people in this world of personal development and being entrepreneurs and having passion projects, you know, we say that's the stuff that matters. You know, it's living well, living to the fullest, enjoying the moment. But when you actually match it with an action of like saying, you know, I don't actually need a watch. We don't actually need watches. You're really empowering yourself and empowering others that ask you questions like that to think bigger too. And maybe in the moment they kind of laugh, but I bet you anything, they'll think about it later.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because she's a therapist and I, you know, I work in that world and, you know, she's like scoffed at that idea that time is just a construct. And it was just funny because she's never like that, you know? And, but that she was teasing me about, it was a funny thing, but
yeah, well, that's cool. I've seen rings that are like nails, like that are curved around. So that kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is obviously, it's not a real hammer.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could, if it was straight, try to use it as a hammer. But no, there's some really cool men's bracelets out there these days. Something different. And I was a carpenter.
Okay.
That's, you know, remembering where I came from kind of thing.
That's awesome. That makes more sense now with a hammer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. No, yeah. I actually got an Apple Watch last year and I at first was excited and then I started wearing it. And I was like, I really only want this for like a couple of things of it, but I don't really need that. And so sometimes I don't wear it. And then, you know, my boyfriend or friends will comment and say, well, where's your Apple Watch? I'm like, why is it weird that I don't wear my Apple Watch every day?
Yeah. You
know? There really is this kind of, I don't know, this intense need for it in society.
Well, I, you know, for me, that's like, I mean, I do like watches. I don't have the watch I want. So if I had the watch I wanted, I'd wear it. But I kind of like the whole Apple Watch thing, like, that's where I draw the line. Already we carry this microcomputer around in our pockets.
True.
Everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Like, it's already a struggle for me to not give it too much of my time and attention. So the last thing I need is another device. You know, I don't want that. I really don't.
That's kind of where I started getting to, too. I was like, this feels so invasive. Yeah. But I bought it. Like, what am I doing?
I'm on the other hand, you know, like, I love Instagram. I mean, the podcast, like, we got to have devices to listen. Like, but I have a love-hate kind of thing with the whole iPhone. I also love, like, I can be listening to some, like, today somebody used a word that I wasn't familiar with, and she was saying her husband uses it. She doesn't know if it's a real word. And I looked it up on the dictionary of my phone in the moment. I like to be able to do that, you know?
Well, I wonder if that will always be the debate, you know, is like the hate-love relationship with it. Where, like, we all see the benefits, you know, it's really helping in a lot of ways. You know, even right now, we wouldn't be able to do this without the technology.
Right.
But it's got to be a balance. And I think that's where, like, the hate part comes in, is because a lot of times people do feel out of control with it. Or, I don't know about you, but there have definitely been times when I need to go to bed, but yet I feel absolutely addicted. I'm like, I have to finish my messages, or I have to keep scrolling. And it's like, I can't, almost sometimes can't stop myself. And it's like that moment, the moment I put my phone down, I'm like, why is this happening? Why is this addiction here? And so I think that's when the toxicity part of it comes in. But if you can use it to where it's just, you know, going to benefit you, you can use it as a tool versus it being, you know, a life, then I think, or a lifestyle, then I think you can be happier.
And the way that it's designed, I mean, you know, you go to Instagram, there's a link in the bio, you click the link in the bio, then you go to the bio, then you click, you know what, I mean, it just... It's a labyrinth. I mean, you're going around to all these different places, and then the next thing you know, an hour has gone by, and like, how the hell did I end up here?
Yeah.
Right. And you're right. If we can use it as a tool, but I do think it all goes back to what you're talking about in the first place, which is, you know, nurturing yourself and taking care of yourself. And 'cause if we are aligned, we don't need that distraction either.
Exactly. You start to feel the pull less and less. Something that somebody shared with me once, it was really good advice. They were like, you know, as you get into this entrepreneurship world, something really important is like, post what you need to post, say what you need to say, connect with who you need to connect with, and then get out of there. They were like, get out of there, turn your notifications off, or just set your phone down, or find something else to do that's productive, but get off the phone. Because you have to have that balance, and you have to work on having that, just that freedom, and not allowing it to suck you in as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. My phone, one of the things that I do, unless it's really important, a call I'm expecting or something, I never have my ringer on, ever. I mean, it's generally close enough to me that if it's a call's coming in, I can hear the vibration. You know, or, you know, it isn't that important.
Yeah.
Like, I can call them back. Right?
Yeah.
All right, Jesse. So, all you've been through, you know, where you are now, looking back, if there's a time when you could go back and give the younger Jesse a word of advice or support, when would it have been? And what would you say?
Oh, man. I wish I could just start from the beginning and tell her she's awesome. She's going to be fine. Because I really second guessed myself at almost every step, and it feels really freeing to now just not worry, because I've gone to where I am. But I would just, if I had to give one solid piece of advice, it would probably be really just trust the process. Trust yourself and know that the universe has a way cooler plan than you do for yourself. So just trust that. And I probably would have told myself, back in, honestly, 2016 is really was a pivotal time for me, because that was when I really dug into the concept of me being responsible for my life. And, you know, it's, I get to design my life. I really dug into that. And so, but that brought a lot of just, yeah, like a lot of hard times. And if I had just trusted the process more, relaxed and knew I would turn out fine on the end of it and even better than I thought I would be, then I wouldn't have stressed so much.
Yeah. Well, I like the part about telling her she's awesome, because that's so important with kids. It really is. Well, this has been cool. I appreciate you doing this. And again, you know, when the book comes out, whatever it ends up, what kind of turn it ends up taking, I want you to definitely come back and be on the podcast again. That would be great. And keep me posted what you're up to.
Thank you so much. This has honestly been so much fun.
All right, there you have it, Jesse Carroll. Again, please subscribe to the show, like, follow, whatever it is it lets you do at your platform of choice. You can find the show at Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, Podbay, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, and eventually on YouTube. If you enjoy listening to the show, maybe you can share an episode with a friend, maybe even leave a review at Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. If you have questions or comments, you can call 561-247-4757 to leave a message. I'd love to hear from you. Value any feedback you might have to offer. For early access to the newest episodes, as well as unedited interviews and other supplemental content, for as little as $1 a month, you can support the show on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thepathtoauthenticity. Thank you to the band Punk Rock Opera, whose music you hear throughout the show. Their songs are used with permission from the artist under a Creative Commons license. Path to Authenticity is proud to support the I Speak Media Foundation. Thank you to our sponsors, The Manor and Windrose Recovery. And thank you to Wendy Chin at Equivox. Check out the website, thepathtoauthenticity.com. You can email the show at thepathtoauthenticity@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We have playlists on Spotify, all over the place, even Pinterest. All right, folks, got plenty more to come. I appreciate you investing time in this show. It means a lot to me. Be nice. Thank you.
We need a guitar player.
The Path to Authenticity is powered by Equivox. For digital marketing and web design services, visit equivox.com.